Hello, it's Dan from Des Island Dicks. I'm a bit croaky because I've managed to catch some kind of cough or cold on one of the hottest days in recorded history of this country. But anyway, look, we're back for a new series and I'm really happy about it. I know we've been away for a little while. I've had quite a lot going on. Both of my kids have had chicken pox. My wife has torn a ligament in her knee. She's had an operation now, but she had the first operation cancelled because we all got COVID. My youngest has been we've all been ill. It's been a lot of not exciting things going on, which has left me kind of a bit shaky myself. But look, we are back, and I'm excited that we're back because, well, one exciting thing that's happened in the past couple of months is that we've been nominated at the British Podcast Awards in the Best Entertainment category for being the best at entertaining people. That's what they're saying. And then there's only a few days to go until we find out what happens. So I'm recording this on Monday night. The awards is on Saturday. Ooh, it's nail-biting. And we're against some, like, really big people that, you know, from, like, the BBC and big radio stations and people who have money and people that are famous and people that get loads of help to do all this shit. But, I mean, we're just here punching above our weight, so it feels very exciting indeed. And a special thank you to all of you, whatever happens at the awards, because, you know, you're the listeners and, you know, it means a lot that you download us all the time. So thank you for listening and, well, look, let's get on with it. Look, today's guest is Harry Trevoldwyn, who is brilliant. He's everywhere at the minute. If you're not immediately familiar with his name, just Google it and you'll go, oh yeah, I know you. You do really funny videos on Twitter. He's also been in movies. He's in 10%, which is the remake of the French comedy Call My Agent, which is also really good, and loads more besides. I'm not going to list them all now because I've gone on quite a long time already in this bit, and we do talk about all the things that he's up to in the podcast, so I'll let Harry tell you. But Harry was great, and I think he is great, and he was a lovely guest, and I think it's a perfect way to kick off this new series. So get comfortable and prepare your ears to receive some brand new dicks with Harry Trevoldwyn. Hi, I'm Dan Benedictus and welcome to Desert Island Dicks, the show that sees you marooned on a desert island after a plane crash with the worst people and worst things imaginable. Who they are and why they're a dick is up to our guest. And here to share their Desert Island Dicks with us today is actor and writer from the film The Bubble and new series 10%, as well as a new comedy blap Billy and soon to star in film Sweet Sue, it's Harry Trevoldwyn. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm not too bad. We've got a lovely sunny day that we're recording on.
We do. It doesn't help, like, but as in I can see blue sky, which is very, very nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if it puts us in the right frame of mind to be kind of bitter and ranty about
things. I guess desert. I mean, I hope that it's sunny there at the very least.
It helps with the method acting, I suppose, of our surroundings.
Yeah, I've been actually preparing this for many, many months, just going to the right zone.
Yeah, do you find you're someone, because, you know, it's hard, obviously we've not met before, so it's hard to kind of, from your online persona, you seem like quite an upbeat kind of person. Do you find it easy to rant about people and things that you hate?
So not. I'm a very lenient judge of character, I think. So, like, I've mentioned this before, but, like, my friends make fun of me because every single person I meet, I'll be like, oh, yeah, they were lovely. And I don't know whether this is just, like, I just, like, miss red flags everywhere, or I'm just like, oh, blah, blah, but it's the same. And I'm also like, if I finished a book, I normally like it. If I finished a film, I normally like it. So I struggled so much to pick things that I didn't like. I was like, oh, well, I do kind of. I was, like, trying to, like, as soon as I, like, picked something I didn't like, I was like, immediately felt guilty for them.
Okay, well, it'll be interesting to see who made your shortlist then.
Yeah.
So let's go straight into it. Who's going to be the first person joining you on the island?
Okay, so this is, like, a theoretical one that I know I would hate so much, would be someone who looked basically just like me, but was slightly better looking. And I just think that would be a very unfun energy to have on the island, just to know that there's a very limited number of people here, but one of them is just like the slightly better looking version of me.
Mm, yeah, I can imagine that. I used to work with someone who looked so like me that even I could see that he looked like me.
The same with like siblings or something like that. You're like, oh, well, apparently I look like my brother, but I don't really see it. But if you could actually see it, that is...
Yeah, someone at work said, who's the guy on our floor that looks like you? And I was saying, well, obviously I have no idea. And I came down, I was like, oh my God, I'm standing over there. But he was like a bigger, healthier looking version of me. I think facially... I'm going to say I took the edge.
Okay, amazing.
But the rest of it, I think, like, you know, he was physically fit, you know, he was stronger, he was a bit, you know, had a bit more muscle about him.
So I feel that could be aspirational, potentially, if it was just like, oh, okay, this is what I would look like if I ran every day. But if it's, like, just facial, as there's nothing you can change about it, and I was just, like, face-to-face with this, like, just, yeah, better-looking version of me, that would just be so horrid. But that's what your colleague had with you, if you facially took the edge.
We're pretty much on a par, I think. I'm just trying to give myself something because he was fit and healthy. He's going to live longer. I'm just telling myself that at least I had that. If I go back and examine the pictures, I think there's probably, like, there's a cigarette paper in it. You know, it's very, very fine.
But you can have that, like, live fast and die young energy, and that's fun.
But I get what you mean, because it's frustrating, because you're sort of like, well, you know, I would like to be like that little bit, you know, healthier looking and a bit bigger. And that's what it is. But it's, you know, he had a genetic edge, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never going to be as tall as him or, you know, as broad shouldered as him.
Yeah, exactly. So, and just like, I just know that this fictitious better version of me would get like a perfect scattering of freckles like over their nose. And their hair would just like go like this lovely like golden blonde. Whereas I would go like a little bit blotchy sunburn. And I just constantly... be envious of it. And then what if there's like very limited people there? What if I start fancying that better looking version of me? And then that's like a whole other horrible personality thing to contend with that I don't want to open up, so I don't want him there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it'd be a nightmare, wouldn't it? And then occasionally your other sort of stable mates on the island might mistake you for him and go, oh no, I forgot, you're not him.
Yeah, and I'm like, I know I'm not him, okay? And then I run off down the island into the stream.
Yeah.
Cool off.
Or they could say, oh, can you help us lifting this heavy thing? Oh no, it's you. No, I'm not going to ask you to do that, yeah.
That, though, that would be the benefit of it. I'd be like, well, actually get this guy to do it because he's clearly, you know, in better shape. And I'd have like a coconut water.
Because the thing is, when you see someone who's like that, you kind of think, well, yeah, maybe I could sort of morph it. Maybe that's the template that I need to follow. But it's not as simple as it. It's not just, you know, you just can't change. You can only change yourself so much.
Yeah. I mean,
there are sort of genetic parameters in which...
which you can change. And I'm guessing that one of the people there won't be like an incredibly sophisticated cosmetic surgeon. And so, but yeah, it's like, I remember seeing this like... there was like this Instagram filter or something like that, which like it mapped out your face and it showed what your face would look like if it was the perfect face, which is an incredibly healthy exercise. Yeah, and I remember I was just like, oh, okay, that's what it... But actually, I think that was like a very weird one. I was happy with my non-perfect face in that instance.
Yeah, I think you're going to have so much to think about on the island anyway.
Yeah.
You're stuck with these people that you don't like. Adding in the sort of mind games that you're going to play with yourself with someone like this, you know, like who you see as a better version of you. And you know, if you imagine that they also think they're a better version of you
as well. Yeah, it's not like a two-way street. They're like, yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you could be a bit like this, but I mean, no, I could see why you'd be angry, but you know.
Yeah, yeah, and then they'd just be like hot and apologetic and I'd just be like angry and burnt.
Well, I think it's a good one to start off with, just because of the psychological nature.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that I really delved into, what would be psychologically torturous, and it would just be like that mildly better-looking version.
Okay, so we're off to a good start. Who's going to be joining the two of you?
Number two is a real person. I don't know who they are. I don't know what they're doing now, but they are etched in my memory as... not a nice person, I think. Or at least they were thoughtless. And it was towards the end of school and we were trying to pick out universities and we were meant to like kind of go visit. And I'd kind of decided pretty early on that I wanted to go to Bristol. But I still wanted to, like, you know, take a day off, go have a look around university. And one of my best friends, Gabby, she had a friend whose brother, or no, a friend whose sister was at Manchester. And so we had this plan that we were going to go stay with them for one night, go out in Manchester, even though neither of us really wanted to go or had, like, other places we wanted to go more. But we were so excited to go when we were going to go on a proper night out. We had our fake IDs, all that. And I remember, like meticulously planning what I was going to wear to give off the perfect combination of, like, I'm here for fun, but I'm also nonchalant, which is a tough category, but ultimately top man provided. And yeah, I remember getting there. It was, like, quite awkward. And I remember thinking they were so, so old, but they must have only been, like, 19, 20. And just, like, constantly just trying to impress them so, so much. And then, like, when we were getting ready to go, I remember getting upstairs and getting changed into my... So it was a long-sleeve white T-shirt with a kind of graphic on the front of, like... It was kind of like a print of someone's headshot, like, as if they'd committed a crime. Like, what are they called? Police headshots?
Oh, like a mugshot.
Yeah, mugshot. I was thinking the actor way. I was like, is it a headshot? mugshot. And I remember just thinking, like, that's cool. It was, like, something that I would never wear, and therefore I was like, well, that must be right. And I remember, like, coming down, like, kind of feeling myself, like, being like, this is kind of great choice from me here. And then one of the housemates of this girl that was at university at Manchester came up to me, and she was like, oh, like, weird choice. And I was, like, immediately just, like, so upset. And I was like, oh, what do you mean? He's like, it's just weird that you'd pick a shirt with a person on it is better looking than you. And I just... How... Me- and then I obviously had to be like, yeah, no, it's so, so silly. So silly. Alan just was, like, the most mortified I could be. I'm now realising that my two kind of link... That it's like this is like a chain of events. I don't like people that are better looking than me, which is, doesn't bode well. But yeah, but can you? And it then turned into the worst night of my life. So that's an exaggeration, but still, it was like then the fake ID didn't work because it was like an international driving license, which doesn't exist. And so they all went to the club, and I was like, no, guys, go on without me. But I think I insisted a bit too hard, so they sent me home. And they were like, just watch a film that's in the, like, you know, this is how the DVD player works. But I finally got back to their house, and the DVD player didn't work, so I had to watch Marley and Me, which is just the most depressing end to, like, my first, like, night out at a university. And I partially blame that girl that insulted my long-sleeve T-shirt from Top Man.
Oh, man. I mean, that's rude enough anyway to comment on someone. Especially, you know, if they are your flatmate, you can maybe give a bit of a critique.
Yeah, but even then I'd be like, that's incredibly rude.
Yeah, but then to sort of point out the face on it.
Yeah, and just... be like, that person is better looking than you are.
And they're a criminal as well.
Yeah. And I was like, it was honestly, I remember it so, I remember that, like, it was such an intense embarrassment that I remember so clearly. And I could never wear the T-shirt again because I was like, that's what everyone's thinking when I wear it.
That's extraordinary.
And yeah, so that made... Also, you know, that made me really deep dive into fast fashion. I wore it once. Dreadful.
If you extend that sort of frame of mind to everything, it's like, oh, that's a nice painting on your wall. Weird to have a picture that's better than one that you could have done yourself, though. You know what?
I think there's a lot to be said about her and her state of mind at that point to insult this poor 17-year-old. But yeah, it seems like in that case, like, can I not have any pictures where, like, they might be compared? It feels like a rogue direction to go in.
Wow. Yeah. Imagine being stuck on the island with someone like that, who just, they start off saying something rude and then it gets ruder.
And then they explain specifically why they said the thing that was so rude, and it makes you feel even worse.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. You
know, so what would happen if I wore the picture of that better looking version of me, that would just be a worst day of my life.
I know, yeah. God, I mean, I wonder if it's just some sort of weird snobbery where you're sort of, oh, I'm at uni and these two kids are coming along or something that some people get. But I don't think there's any excuse for that kind of
thing. I think her behaviour was inexcusable. I won't try and find an excuse. But, you know, I hope she's well. I hope she I hope she got over her distaste of graphic tees. I certainly did. I'm stronger because of it.
Harry, I hope she's not well. I hope she's having a really bad time, because I think you seem too nice to wish ill on her. I'm going to do
it
for
you.
Can
you do it for me? Thank God, because I would like that.
I wish ill of her, and and now look, I mean, you're on telly and stuff, so I mean, she's probably
maybe because
see
of her. Maybe that was
you
like,
should get a t-shirt with her face on somehow.
Yeah, but then what if she shoots to shoots to stardom? Then I'm like, oh god.
Yeah, I haven't thought the plan.
But I like the process that we're going in.
She sounds like one of those people where you always meet these people in life and then you sort of say, oh, that person's a bit of a knob or whatever. And then you get them people defending, go, oh, no, they're all right. They've just got a sort of a bit of a manner. You know, they've just got a bit of a blunt manner.
Like that no bullshit personality thing. And you're like, no, that's just rude.
Yeah.
Actually, if I could put her under the umbrella term of someone, it would be the no bullshit personality, which is just I'm just like no bullshit. Like I just, I say it as it is. And I'm like, that's just rude. Like, as in, you can call it no bullshit, but you're being incredibly mean and rude.
Yeah. I just say it. I just say it how I find it.
Exactly.
If we all did that, the world would be awful. I mean, it's not great at the minute anyway.
But it'd be worse.
Yeah. So I don't have any time for that. I often sort of say to people, like, I'm approaching 40 now. I've got lots of friends that I don't get to see enough. So, like, why am I wasting my time with this dick when there's loads of nice people I like that I don't see as much as I would wish to, So, this person, I really don't like them, Harry.
It's funny, isn't it? The weird, like, the weird insults, like, and it always happens to be insults that really stick in your head.
Mm.
Like, it's just that, like, people can do, like, so many nice things and someone will say something slightly offish and you're like, well, that's a memory forever.
Yeah, definitely. Especially at that age where, you're 17, you're sort of, it's still that awkward stage where you're sort of a bit worried about, you're really aware of what you're doing. If you're going out with older people and you're just so self-conscious about, am I drinking this right? Am I holding this the right way? Am I standing like a normal person would? Do I look like I don't give a shit about being here?
Yeah, when you're overthinking standing, that's when you realise you're like, I'm not in my comfort zone. You're like, is this how I normally stand? Is this how I lean?
And then for them to do that on top of that, and I'm sure also you've come back from that trip and be like, how was Manchester? I love it. It's such a great city. Did you love it? Where did you go? And then
yeah, and I was like, it was okay.
Oh man. Oh. Yeah. So them and the better looking version of yourself, I think, is very good. Who's gonna finish off this trio of dicks then for you?
Well, I feel this was also like perhaps someone that was like kind of in uni, and again it's a collective person, and it's kind of, I picked hockey specifically because it feels like a type. I don't know. But like a hockey boy is what I said. And by that I mean very heterosexual, did sports clubs and like loved hazing and like calls everyone mate and stuff like that. And that would be the worst person because I just would have no idea how to talk to them. I feel like we would have no shared conversation.
Yeah.
I just, every time I'm in a setting with, and that I imagine like comes partly from me, but like I just have no idea. I have no idea what to say. I'm just like, because I can't start talking sports because that would be, just like an absolute non-negotiable. And yeah, so I think that would be the next person. It would just be lots of uncomfortable silences where I would like drop the register of my voice in order to be accepted by them. So I'd be like, oh yeah, no, yeah, 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 it's cool. Which would make me not happy with myself and therefore not happy on the island.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that these moments as a man where like I had to assemble something in my garden. We got this like kids playhouse thing and it had been sort of sat flat packed for about 6 months because my wife got a free cycle and I never built it, and eventually got someone round to help me with it, and it was like, oh, I'm doing a couple of hours of man things with a man, and it's just, I'm so self-conscious of it. Like I'm really aware of like, Yeah, like, oh, I'm actually a bit cold. I might get a jumper. Should I get a jumper? I mean, how many layers has he got? It's like, who cares?
I know, but it's the thing. I'm just like, I don't care about this anymore. Like, as in, yeah. In theory, I care not at all about, like, masculinity, what it is to be, like, a man, all that stuff. I'm just, like, so bored with it, don't care. And then as soon as I'm face-to-face with a hockey boy, all that, like, crumbles away. Like, I remember so clearly being at uni and, like, one of my guy housemates had, like, invited some people around to watch football, and I kind of, like, wandered in at one point, and they were all watching football, just, like, yeah, just obviously staring at the screen, and I just, like, I was trying to think of, like, something that was, like, cool and, like, manly and, like, I don't know, just, like, appropriate to say, and what I chose was, things sure have changed here on the prairie, because the score had changed, and my house and everyone else just ignored me, and my housemate just kind of looked at me with, like, sad eyes, as if, like, that's what you went for. I don't want to come out with more stuff like that at the island. No, thank you.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I've been in those situations, or I used to do loads of, like, temping jobs before I had my current career. And there was lots of sort of manual work and stuff in factories and things like that. And I'd often go with a friend, my flatmate, who was also temping. And he liked football, so he was fine. So he'd be talking to someone, working away on some production line or something, stacking stuff. Someone would be like, oh, did you see the match last night? And I'd just go, no. And then my friend would go, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Let's have a normal men's conversation about this. And they were just fine for the next hour, whereas I'd just get sat with someone just being like, who's this weirdo?
Yeah, but like, it's like, it's that shared conversation, isn't it? And, like, that's why I remember being really, really loving when, like, when there's, like, a big, like, as in when, like, X Factor was on and, like, everyone was watching it, like, every night. That I loved because it was, like, shared conversation, because everyone would have watched X Factor. And I guess it was a similar thing with Love Island. And, like, I feel so jealous of, like, that shared surface level conversation, where if you're, like, trapped with, like, and this is obviously, like, you know, generalizing, but if you're talking to, like, you know, a straight bloke, generally you can talk to them about football, and I don't know it at all, and I when I was younger, I'd, like, try and learn how to be interested by it, but just wasn't. And it's just, like, such good easy conversation to have.
Yeah, I can't do it. But the thing is, at least if it's your friends who are in, you know, I've got friends who are into football and stuff, and if they're talking and I'm bored, I can just start making stuff up until they get the, you know, oh, yeah, sorry, Dan doesn't know about football. It's fine. Let's talk about something else.
Yeah.
When it's that sort of, oh, I don't quite know this person.
But you're better at saying no. See, I remember getting my hair cut before, and, like, the barber was, like, desperately trying to find, like, shared conversation. He was like, do you watch football? No. Do you watch rugby? No. Do you watch hockey? No. And then he was like, do you watch Peep Show? And I was like, honestly, you're trying so hard. And I hadn't watched it at that point, but I was just like, yeah. And then what proceeded was, like, a half an hour haircut where I had to pretend to know which episodes he was talking about, rather than just saying, no, I haven't watched Peep Show. And he was like, oh, what about, like, when Mark, like, did that? And I was like, that was so Mark, wasn't it? But it also wasn't, was it, really? And it was just, like, the longest haircut of my life.
Yeah. My brother-in-law's stag do. I've never met... I mean, they're all really nice guys, but I've never met a group of people who knew more about more sports. Like, every sport they would know something about. And they'd be... And by the end, I was like, I don't even know what sport you're talking about anymore. Like, how do you have the time? Because there seems to me, from someone who doesn't like football, there seems to be a lot of football and a lot
it's
of play.
Big
I don't
time.
Know how you remember all the names for each team across the whole league, and sometimes foreign leagues as well. And then they knew about, like, it got to the point where, like, they knew about, like, different skiers and stuff. I'm like, how do you know about skiers?
I mean, you say that, and then it took me, like, all of a day to learn every single line to every Olivia Rodrigo song. And so I'm like, I do understand. But it's just, yeah, the breadth of knowledge there is impressive, but it is something that I would not be able to converse with. But I remember, actually, now you mentioned, like, temping. I remember one time I was temping... I found out it was, like, a day temping at ITV, and I don't know why I thought it was going to be, like, in the office. So I, like, dressed, like, what I thought was very chic, and was, like, sure I was going to be spotted and then going to be like, write a script for us. And so I dressed in, like, just like I think it was, like, a polo neck and, like, fitted trousers or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I didn't realise that I was then working in the mail room with, like, a lot of, like, real, like, blokey blokes, and I just was so embarrassed by what I was wearing and just, like, so clearly stuck out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, I think the thing is, with people like this, it's, like, it's as much their duty to change and sort of meld into a middle ground with you as it is for you to sort of find a middle ground for them, you know, but it always feels like, all right, they've got this sort of the blokey end.
Yeah.
I've got to sort of move towards that. And it's like, well, no, like, let's meet in the middle.
Yeah.
Let's find something that we all enjoy, like, whatever it is. But I think, yeah, it's just, like you say, I'm not cared about being blokey or, like, how I'm perceived like that. But obviously at some level I am, because
yeah, I think it's all school just stuff. It just, like, suddenly resurfaces and you're like, oh god.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, that, and so the combination of that person that you basically can't talk to, then you've got the rude person who, when you do talk to, you wish you hadn't.
Yeah.
And then you sort of wander off and then you find a better looking version of yourself. I mean,
horrible time.
This is a really good bad time, I think.
I'd feel so homesick. I'd feel dreadful. I'd want to be home immediately.
Okay, well, we're going to move on to a slightly different topic now, because mercifully, amongst the wreckage of the plane, there was some food and drink left over. Unfortunately for you, it's your least favourite food and drink in the world. What are they and why are they so bad?
So I struggle with this again, because I'm a pretty unfussy eater, like, as in I enjoy most things. So the one that I went for, just because if it arrives, it's slightly disappointing, but it's also I was so excited and now there's an added element. And it's when you get, like, a, you know, like a prawn linguine or a prawn pasta, prawn-based meal, prawns, which I love, and they've got all the shell and stuff on. And you're just, and if, especially if it's in a pasta, you're like, I'm so ready for this to just be here. And I now have to go through the rigmarole of unpeeling and, like, deheading and just all that stuff. And it's not something I need nor want in my life.
Yeah, I'm not squeamish about it.
No, I'm not either.
Like, it's just a faff, isn't it?
It's a faff.
And the little bits of shell kind of stick to your fingers and it's just like, yeah.
And also, like, as in, I want it, like, as in, by whatever level of hungry I'm at, when I see the waiter walking towards me, I'm the hungriest I've ever, 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 ever been. And so I immediately want to, like, have all of it so quickly. And so then to have, like, and then also I feel if they've got, like, their whole outfits, by outfits I mean their skin shells, if they've got their whole, like, look together, but then there won't be enough because they take up so much space on the plate and there won't be enough prawns, I think.
Yeah, I wonder if that's why they do it. It's just lazy and throw them in. It looks really magnificent.
It is lazy.
It's like, oh, look, yeah. It looks posh and special. It's almost like, oh, I've got lots of tiny lobsters on my plate, you know.
But maybe that is it, actually, because realistically, like, it is lazy because I guess it looks more rustic, but I don't really need my pasta to look rustic. I want it to look delicious. Ugh, yeah. Jamie, weirdly, one of the best prawn and greenies I've ever had, which is Jamie's Italy. It was so good, and I remember they didn't have prawns on it.
Well, I think, like, other things, like a mussel or a clam, that's all right, because it's just done out with the
fork. It's so quick, it's, and it's also more fun, because you've got the maraca style element of it. And that I understand. Again, and also because it takes no time. Prawns does take time.
Yeah, I agree. Prawns do and take time. Sometimes when you pull the head off, like, stuff comes out.
Yeah, and you're like, I didn't want that in the sauce. Ugh.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, obviously, being on the island, you know, this is something that you're probably going to have to deal with quite a lot. I mean, you're going to have the leftover prawns from the plane, so they're going to be crap ones as well. And then, I mean, you're going to have to deal with this sort of thing anyway because you're on a desert island. So it's like, oh, well, at least I'll see what's on the plane. I'll get away from all this fucking shellfish. Oh, no, right, it's shellfish.
There it is. And I have to do everything when I'm already so exhausted with these people that I'm trapped with.
Yeah. And, okay, so and what would you try and wash that down with? What's your drink choice?
This, so a fishbowl.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with them? They're like, it's like the big goblet of a mixture of, like, every kind of alcoholic drink as well as every kind of mixer and then, like, quite a lot of syrups.
Yeah, they're sort of big cocktails in these big bowls, aren't they?
And then you sip them down, like, and you have, like, multiple straws around them. And I enjoy the camaraderie of a fishbowl, but they don't feel chic. I, like, wouldn't order one, like, if I was having, like, a fancy meal, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, can I just get, can we actually just get, like, a fishbowl for the table? So for that reason. Also, I get, like, they also normally have, like, quite a lot of, like, energy drink in it, and I hate energy drinks.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they just remind me of a time where it was, like, imperative to get as drunk as possible, as quickly as possible. And also, I don't want to share a drink. Like, I enjoy, like even with tequila or something like that, I enjoy the, like, the ritual of it, even if I don't like tequila. But I'm okay with never having the ritual of ordering a fishbowl.
Yeah, because I get it. I get what you mean about the camaraderie. But, I mean, for me, there's enough camaraderie just going out for a drink with your friends.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need a layer on top of that. You know?
Don't need actual sipping to be a joint activity. And then also, the competitiveness. Because I'm just like, in the same way with sharing food, I'm just constantly terrified that I haven't had enough, or that it's not fair. So I will normally, like, it's also that competitive of everyone just, like, sipping as aggressively as possible. Just that whole thing I could do without.
At least if you've got a jug of cocktails together, then that's all right. But, I mean, having it in the same glass, it's like, where do you draw the line? Because are we going to eat off the same plate? I mean, I know you get, like, a charcuterie board or something. That's slightly different. But it's like, I don't want just one long plate that we all just sit there eating off at the same time.
It's like a trough. It's like a horse's trough. Yeah, and, like, yeah, it is. I would say it is worlds away from a charcuterie board.
I think years and years ago when I was young, I went with some friends on holiday, and we went to this, like, amazingly tacky bar that was sort of like a tiki bar.
Gorgeous.
Everything's bamboo, and the waitresses had roller skates on, and, you know, everything had sparklers in. And that,
oh my God, they were really playing with, like, kind of every theme. They weren't sticking with a single one.
Yeah, it was just, like, the most kitsch place imaginable. It was fantastic. And that feels like the one place where I might think about a fishbowl.
A fishbowl.
But even then, I'd still rather have my own cocktail, I think, you know. And that's even in that sort of Las Vegas,
even in the chicest possible tiki bar, even in that gorgeous place where I could be skated over to me, even then, I still wouldn't want one.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, and also, you're going to share it with these three people that you hate.
I know.
You know, that woman's going to make some bitchy comment.
I'd be like, oh, did you order this? That's sophisticated. And I'd be like, that was the only thing that was available. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and you've got the hockey guy. He's obviously going to be chugging it.
So enchanting,
puts the big glass on his head afterwards for some reason. I think this is a good thing, because you're going to be so busy peeling all the prawns, and you've got to... So that takes you a long time, but then the drink's gone too quickly, I think.
And then what if, like... And then I don't want to, like, put my prawny fingers around the straw, but I have to if they're, like, chugging away. Even if I don't want it, I still want to have my fair share.
It's the sort of thing where you kind of go, oh, that's what they use that blue drink from behind the bar for. It's like, it's that the antifreeze colour, that blue... Is it blue carousel? That sort of weird colour thing. Yeah, I think these are very good choices.
Thanks so much.
Now, Harry, fortunately, you won't be without entertainment on the island. The plane's entertainment system continues to work, but just your luck, it only has two working settings. One is your least favourite film of all time, and the other is your least favourite song. What are they and why?
Okay, so least favourite song is... It used to be my favourite song. It's Dancing in the Moonlight by Top Loader, which is... It is a great song. However, when I was, like, 17, like, 18 again, I think... You know when you're so keen to have a personality that you kind of, like, are just like, oh, this is my favourite thing. Like, oh, I love this, I love this. So one of my things was that I was like, oh... Dancing in the Moonlight by Top Loader is my absolute favourite song. And I really, like, kind of hammered that home with my friends. And now, I think it's a fine song, but if it comes on in a group setting, I've now, like, kind of orchestrated it, so everyone has to turn to me and they're like, this is Harry's favourite song. And it's exhausting, and I don't like it enough. I don't have the energy to, like, have that enthusiasm, and so I'm trying to phase it out of my life currently.
Okay, so, well, this is quite a good way of publicly coming out,
yeah,
you know, with it. And
this is the real coming out that I've done in my life, is saying that I don't love Dancing in the Moonlight by Top Loader as much as I said that I did. I still like it as a song, but it's now lost its charm on me.
Okay. I suppose that's the equivalent of when you tell your mum you like something and then that's all she buys for you for like the next 10 years, you know, but with the song equivalent, isn't it? I think that song I've got terrible memories of because I remember, again, in a temping job, it was like doing these 12-hour shifts in this office. And it was huge at the time, and they were playing like a commercial radio station that played it 8 times a day. And there was also an advert that sort of did a pastiche of it as well.
It was non-stop.
So pretty much every song was some kind of Dancing in the Moonlight sort of thing. And I mean, and I think because it's got that sort of little, you know, that little bit at the beginning, the bam, 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 and you can sort of hear it. It's almost like they shoot up a little flare going, it's coming.
And that was when everyone would be like, Harry, it's your song. And I'd be like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I think it has been chosen as a least favourite song before.
Has it? Okay. Oh, I good.
Mean,
okay, well...
So, I mean, there's a good head of steam behind this song of people that will, you know, hate it with you. I mean, you don't hate it, but I think, if you do want to cross over to that side...
If I do, well, yeah, I'm sure it will happen.
There's a big support network for you.
Thank you so much.
Something about being marooned on a desert island with like quite an upbeat, chirpy song just adds to a bit of the madness, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. And also like I would just still feel that like need to be like, oh, I love this song, and I'd be like, oh, here we go. And then you know, it's any song, even if I like it, by the time like at like a you know wedding or like party setting, I want it to finish at like a minute and a half. I'm done with it by a minute and a half.
Yeah, I mean it's entirely natural to not have a favourite song forever. I mean, it's a bit suspicious of someone who's like the same.
Yeah, song I used to think like How to Save a Life by The Fray would be the only song that I listened to forever. And still think it's a great song, but I did grow up.
Yeah, exactly. That's fair enough. And what would your film choice be?
My film choice would be the film Piranha, because I remember watching it when I was very, very young, and like way too young to watch it. Like, I shouldn't have been watching a horror film. And I'm just, ever since then, I am so much more aware of piranhas in my everyday, like, ventures than I ever should be. And, like... So many of those scenes just are so vividly etched in my head. Like, it's just... I remember it so clearly. I remember watching it, and as I was watching it, being like, I shouldn't be watching this because this is going to stick with me forever. But obviously being, like, I didn't want to be the one to be, like, to go to my brother and, like, my brother's friend, like, we should turn this off. And so instead, I was traumatised. And, like, every time I go into a body of water... every time I think about it, it ruins like a swimming experience for me. And yeah, I wish I didn't know as much about piranhas. And also because I don't think they're quite like they are in the film. I'm sure they're not quite like they are in the film, but they're harrowing in the film. There are some really dark scenes in there.
The idea of being eaten by any animal isn't pleasant, but I mean, if you were to be eaten by something, you'd kind of want, you know, great white shark, bam.
Yeah, like, dinosaur. Like, I know that they're not here anymore. just, you know, so the listeners know, I'm aware, dinosaurs aren't still roaming. But yeah, you want something quick, but to be... And also, like, that mob mentality of them, I think, is so horrid.
Yeah, just feeling like you're some kind of human satay stick. There are some predators that look meaner than others. You know, like, a tiger, obviously, is lethal, but it looks quite nice. A shark, you can tell it's going to fuck you up, you know. Piranhas are one of those. They just sort of... Maybe it's just the fish ones. They look so angry all the time.
And so, like, prehistoric. Like, they look like dinosaurs. Like, in the same way that I think chickens look quite, like, prehistoric... So do piranhas. I'm kind of curious as to what a piranha looks like, because I've only got them in my head.
In my head, they sort of look like a fish version of a bulldog. There's something kind of bulldoggy about them. They've got
okay, you know
of...
what? They are still horrible. Like, a fish shouldn't have teeth, but they're not as... No, you know what? They're still horrible. But in the film, they're even worse. Oh, they're so horrible in the film. There's a scene where, like, someone's like dangling their legs behind them in a boat, and it's so horrid. I don't want to get into it.
I think what their habitat is probably is like South America, I think, isn't it? But I don't know if they're in other places as well. But I mean, at least if you're watching this film and you're in a flat in London or something, you're like, okay, these are horrible, but you know, I'm pretty far away from piranhas. But yeah. On a desert island, you're going to have to go into the sea now and again. So even if it's, you know for sure there's no piranhas in there, it's going to freak you out. It's going to make you a bit wary of the sea. And you have to be in the sea because that's
what you have to. That's like one of the only activities there. And I love swimming in the sea. Mm. But the issue, Dan, with the piranhas in the film was that they were kind of like accidentally siphoned off into a place that you wouldn't expect them.
Okay.
So they were in like a leisurely beach place that you just wouldn't expect there to be piranhas, but lo and behold, there were.
Yeah.
So there's no place that you can fully relax from them.
And I imagine Hockey Guy is going to be quite into it. He's like, ah, come on, it's just a film about fish. Let's watch it. What's your problem, mate? You know, stick it on again. You have to watch Piranha, or you have to go, oh, no, I'm... You know, you don't want to show him that you're weak and you don't like the film about the fish, you know, so you're going to have to sort of go for a walk or something every single time he puts it on.
I don't want to do that. I'll get bored of walking.
Exactly. Fair enough. All right. Now, I mean, this might tie into the previous one because I was going to say, finally, the island is overrun by the biggest dick of all the animals. Which animal is it and why? I mean, obviously, piranhas are there in spirit anyway, aren't they?
We know that I'm not a fan of them, but I would also say that I don't think it's fair to purely judge, you know, the piranhas off this film, because I think, you know, they're shown in a worse light than they perhaps would have been. So the ones that I just don't like are moths, because they sound... I think that's a fairly common dislike. Mm. And like in theory, like as in visually, I think they're fine. But like whenever you're in bed, they sound so loud, like incredibly loud, and they thud and they're heavy. And if you've got a light on, they'll just go for your face. And it's just such a tense environment. I think whenever there's a moth in the room, it's an incredibly tense environment.
Yeah. And I just think they're idiots, because the whole thing about going for the light, people say, oh, it's because they're attracted to the moon. Because, you know, before artificial lights, that would have been the only light source.
Grow up, moths.
Yeah, you're never going to make it.
Yeah.
It's a pipe dream.
Yeah, like grow, like honestly, yeah, like really, you know, pull your socks up, moths. Because also, I'm sorry, but like the moon is still there. Like, do that. Like, and also, electricity and lights have been around for ages, and I think they should evolve past that.
Absolutely. And the other thing, when I was young, you know, you hear about moths eating clothes and stuff. It never happened to me. And like in my adult life, it's happened, you know, and it's so annoying. My wedding suit, which admittedly I don't quite fit into anymore, has fucking been eaten up by moths.
But it's always the best thing, which feels weirdly malicious.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I'm not going to wear that suit, but I'd quite like it to not be completely fucked, you know? So
it's got like a taste for sentimental value.
Yeah. What are you getting from wool?
Yeah.
There's nothing in there. I mean, at least if you were eating, you know, if there was a sheep that was infested by moths, it's like, okay, there's probably other living organisms.
Oh, God, that is a horrid image.
It's a really horrid image, isn't it? But, you know, there's probably other things you're getting from it. But this is just, it's just a wool jumper or whatever. You pricks, it's so annoying.
I hadn't even thought about the, like, the clothes-eating element. I'd merely, like, thought about that as I'm trying to get to sleep, it going... and kind of landing everywhere.
Yeah, they are just a bit crap and pathetic, but sort of crap and pathetic, but malicious.
Yeah, my housemate called them the poor man's butterfly, which I thought was an accurate description.
Yeah, they're really the outcast, because, you know, butterfly, they're lovely, they're on a flower, you know, they're only making the flower more picturesque, you know, as a moth just headbutting a light bulb, eating your nice jumpers, and just being a prick. And if you squash them on the wall, then you've got a mark on your wall.
Yeah.
I bought some moth traps, and now I've just got this bloody thing hanging up. People go, oh, what's that? It's like, oh, it's a moth trap. Oh, yeah, I can see there's dead moths in it. It's like, I don't want to be having this conversation.
Yeah, like, this wasn't the decor that I had when I made my Pinterest board of this house.
Yeah, so, yeah, moths can absolutely get fucked.
Yeah, and I just feel like they would be there at the island. Like, I can believe that.
Yeah, and then, yeah, just that you've enjoyed the sunset, you've got a fire going, then the moths
then
on you.
Horrible.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Well, look, Harry, I think you've done a superb job putting together a really shitty environment for yourself today.
Thank you so much.
So thank you so much for sharing your choices with us today. And you know, you're up to loads at the minute. What are some of the things we can look forward to seeing you in soon?
So you can watch 10% on Amazon Prime now. So the first thing that I've ever written and performed in for TV is out at the moment. It's called Billy. You can find it on YouTube or all four. And that's basically about like an incredible, I wouldn't like to be trapped with him either. It's about an incredibly like narcissistic, like kind of like 25-year-old post-teen, who, you know, it's his way or the highway. And then I've got a film coming out. I don't know exactly when, because it's kind of doing the festival thing, but it's called Sweet Sue. And I did some ADR for it today, and I think it looks very fun. So I'm excited about that. And yeah, just some other writing things in the pipeline and bits and bobs. Am I just being so vague? I'm doing stuff. I'm just doing stuff.
No, there's lots going on. So
I'm going to get my hair cut soon, so that's something as well.
Great, so we can look out. Because, I mean, that's the look problem out with this that. Medium. I mean, it's looking good at the minute. I can tell the listeners that it is looking lovely
today. Guys, it's looking amazing, but it could look better.
Well, I mean, the future is exciting.
Yeah, for sure.
Lovely. Okay, well, thanks so much for sharing your choice with us today on Desert Island X. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
That was Harry Trevoldwyn on Desert Island Dix. And Desert Island Dix is a Sync Clap production created by James Deacon, produced and presented by me, Dan Benedictus. And normally these days it's Chris Attaway who edits the things. But for reasons I can't even remember now, I did this one. And I think if you've got a trained ear, you can notice it's not as well edited as when Chris does it. So we're going to give the others to him to do from now on as usual. Social media support comes from Jason Leach and sporadically from Chintzy Clinton, and a special thanks as always to John Deacon for his unwavering support, and Paul Grandmamster Flash, who has been our spreadsheet wizard. He set up a spreadsheet and compiled all of the choices from every guest on every podcast for us. We didn't even ask him, he just did it. And sadly now he's had to move on to other things, which is fair because he just did it out of the goodness of his own heart. If though you're listening and you think, I like spreadsheets and data in your podcast, and you think you'd like to carry on his work and take on the big spreadsheet, then, you know, by all means, get in touch. Give us a shout on Twitter or Instagram at DixPod. Talking of which, do give us a follow and please give us a rating, subscribe. All these things are really useful for us. That's why you hear every podcast person talk about it, but it is a big help. And, you know, just tell your friends about how much better their lives would be if they listened to Desert Island Dix. And, you know, we'll be back next week. We've got loads of great guests coming up that I think you're going to really enjoy. So, bye.